youths of fair England that dwell both far and near, regard my story that I tell, and to my song give ear. A London lad I was, a merchant's prentice bound, my name George Barnwell that did spend my master many a pound. Take heed of harlots then, and their enticing trains, for by that means I have been brought to hang alive in chains. As I upon a day was walking through the street, about my master's business I did a wanton meet. A gallant dainty dame and sumptuous in attire, with smiling look she greeted me and did my name require, which when I had declared, she gave me then a kiss and said if I would come to her, I should have more than this. In faith, my boy, quoth she, such news I can you tell as shall rejoice thy very heart, then come where I do dwell. Fair mistress, then, said I, if I the place may know, this evening I will be with you, for I abroad must go. Together money's in, that is my master's due, and ere that I do home return, I'll come and visit you. Good Barnwell, then, quoth she, do thou to Storditch come, and ask for Mistress Millwood there, next door unto the gun. And trust me on thy truth, if thou keep touch with me, for thy friend's sake and as my own heart, thou shalt right welcome be. Thus parted we in peace, and home I passed right. Then when abroad and gathered in, by 6 o'clock at night, £100 and one, with bag under my arm, I went to Mistress Millwood's house, and thought on a little harm. And knocking at the door, straightway herself came down, rustling in most brave attire, her hood and silken gown, who threw her beauty bright so gloriously did shine, that she amazed my dazzling eyes, she seemed so divine. She took me by the hand, and with a modest grace, "Welcome, sweet Barnwell, then," quoth she, "unto this homely place. Welcome 10,000 times more welcome than my brother, and better welcome, I protest, than any one or other. and seeing I have thee found as good as thy word to be, a homely supper ere thou part, thou shalt take here with me. My master's house, so long I dare not stay. Alas, good sir, said she, are you so strictly tied? You may not with your dearest friend 1 hour or two abide. Faith, then, the case is hard. If it be so, quoth she, I would I were apprentice bound to live in house with thee. Therefore, my sweetest George, list well what I do say, and do not blame a woman much her fancy to bewray. Let not affection's force be counted lewd desire, nor think it not immodesty I should thy love require. With that she turned aside, and with a blushing red, a mournful motion she betrayed by holding down her head. A handkerchief she had, all wrought with silk and gold, which she to stay her trickling tears against her eyes did hold. This thing unto my sight was wondrous rare and strange, and in my mind and inward thoughts it wrought a sudden change. That I so hardy was to take her by the hand, saying, sweet mistress, why do you so sad and heavy stand? Call me no mistress now, but Sarah, thy true friend, thy servant Sarah, honoring thee until her life doth end. If thou wouldst hear a ledge, thou art in years a boy. So was Adonis, yet was he fair Venus, love and joy. Thus I that ne'er before of woman found such grace, and seeing now so fair a dame, give me a kind embrace. I sobbed with her that night with joys that did abound, and for the same paid presently in money twice 3 pound. 100 kisses then for my farewell she gave, saying, sweet Barnwell, when shall I again thy company have? Oh, stay not too long, my dear. Sweet George, have my childishness, she uttered them so kind. So that I made a vow, next Sunday without fail, with my sweet Sarah once again, to tell some pleasant tale. When she heard me say so, the tears fell from her eyes. "O George," quoth she, "if thou dost fail, thy Sarah sure will die. Though long, yet lo, at last, the appointed day was come, that I must with my Sarah meet, having a might sum of money in my hand. Unto her house went I, whereas my love upon her bed in saddest sort did lie. What ails my heart's delight, my Sarah dear," quoth I, "let not my love lament and grieve, nor sighing pine and die, but tell to me thy dearest friend, what may thy woes amend, and thou shalt lack no means of help, though 40 pounds I spend." With that she turned her head, and sickly thus did say, "O my sweet George, my grief is great, 10 pounds I have to pay unto a cruel wretch, and God knows," quoth she, "I have it not to shrive," quoth she, "I have it not to shrive," quoth he, "and take it here of me. 10 pounds nor 10 times 10 shall make my love decay." Then from his bag unto her lap he cast 10 pounds straightway. A blithe and pleasant then to banqueting they go. She proffered him to lie with her, and said it should be so. And after that same time, I have her store of coin, yea, sometimes 50 pounds at once, all which I did purloin. And thus I did pass on, until my master then did call to have his reckoning in, cast up among his men. The which when as I heard, I knew not what to say, for well I knew that I was out 200 pounds that day. Then from my master straight I ran in secret sort, and unto Sarah Millwood then my state I did report. But how she used this youth in this his extreme need, shall us trumpets wildly raise, with all her tricks discharge. Here comes young Barnwell unto thee, sweet Sarah, my delight. I am undone, except thou stand, my faithful friend, this night. Our master to command accounts hath just occasion found, and I am found behind the hand almost 200 pound. And therefore, no, displeasure to escape, my way to thee I take. Hoping in this extremity thou wilt my succor be, that for a time I may remain in safety here with thee. She knit and bent her brows, and looking all a coy, quoth she, what should I have to do with any prentice boy? And seeing you have purloined and got your master's goods away, the case is bad, and therefore here I mean thou shalt not stay. Why, sweetheart, thou know'st, he said, that all which I did get, I have it and did spend it all upon the every wit. Thou knowest I loved thee so well, thou couldst not ask the thing, but that I did incontinent the same unto thee bring. Quoth she, thou art a paltry jack to charge me in this sort, being a woman of credit good, and known of good report. And therefore this I tell thee flat, be packing with good speed. I do defy thee from my heart, and scorn thy filthy deed. Is this the love and friendship which thou didst to me protest? Is this the great affection which you seem it to express? Now, fie on all deceitful shows, the best is I may speed to get a lodging anywhere for money in my need. Therefore, false woman, now farewell, while 20 pound doth last. My anchor in some other haven I will thy wisdom cast. When she perceived by his words that he had money store, that she had galled him in such sort, it grieved her heart full score. Therefore, to call him back, but jest. Think'st thou, for all my passed speech, that I would let thee go? Faith, no, quoth she, my love to thee, I wise is more than so. You will not deal with prentice boys, I heard you even now swear. Therefore I will not trouble you, my George, hark in thine ear. Thou shalt not go tonight, quoth she, what chance soe'er befall, but man will have a bed for thee, or else the devil take all. Thus I that was with wiles betwitched, and shared with fancy still, had not the power to put away, or to withstand her will. Then wine and wine I called in, and cheer upon good cheer, and nothing in the world I thought for Sarah's love too dear. Whilst I was in her company, in joy and merriment, and all too little I did think that I upon her spent. A fig for care and careful thoughts, when all my gold is hone. In faith, my girl, we will have more, whoever it light upon. My father's rich, why then, quoth I, should I want any gold? With a father, indeed, quoth she, a son may well be bold. I have a sister richly wed, I'll rob her ere I'll want. Why then, quoth Sarah, they may well consider of your scant. Nay, more than this, an uncle I have, at Ludlow he doth dwell. He is a grazier, which in wealth doth all the rest excel. Ere I will live in lack, quoth he, I have no coin for thee. I'll rob his house and murder him. Why should you not, quoth she? Ere I would want where I a man, or live in poor estate, on father's friends and all my kin, I would be talents great. For without money, George, quoth she, a man is but a beast, and bringing money thou shalt be always my chiefest guest. For say thou shouldst pursue it be, and 20 ewes and cries, and with a warrant search it for, with Argus 100 eyes. Yet in my house thou shalt be safe, such privy ways there be, that if they sought 100 years, they could not find out thee. And so carousing in their cups, their pleasures to content, George Barnwell had in little space his money wholly spent. Which being done to Ludlow then, he did provide to go to rob his wealthy uncle then, his minion would it so. And once or twice he thought to take his father by the way, but that he thought his master had took order for his stay. Directly to his uncle then he rose with might and main, where with welcome and good cheer he did him entertain. A senate space he stayed there until it chanced so his uncle with his cattle then unto a market go. His kinsman needs must ride with him, and when he saw right plain great store of money he had took in coming home again. Most suddenly within a wood he struck his uncle down, and beat his brains out of his head, so sore he cracked his crown. And 40 pound in ready coin out of his purse he took, and coming into London town, the country quite forsook. To Sarah Millwood then he came, shewing his store of gold, and how he had his uncle slain, to her he plainly told. "'Tush, it's no matter, George,' quoth she, "'so we the money have, "'to have good cheer in jolly sort, "'and eke us fine and brave. "'And this they lived in filthy sort, "'till all his store was gone, "'and means to get them any more, "'I wise poor George had none. "'And therefore now in railing sort, "'she thrust him out of door, "'which is the just reward they get "'that spend upon a whore. "'Oh, do me not this foul disgrace, "'in this my need,' quoth she. "'She called him thief and murderer, "'with all despite might be. "'And to the constable she went "'to have him apprehended, "'and shewed in each degree how far "'he had the law offended. "'When Barwell saw her drift, "'to sea he got straightway, "'fear and dread and conscience sting upon himself doth stay. Unto the mayor of London then he did a letter write, wherein his own and Sarah's faults he did at large recite, whereby she apprehended was, and then to Ludlow sent, where she was judged, condemned, and hanged for murder incontinent. And there this gallant queen did die. This was her greatest gains, for murder in Polonia was born while hanged in chains. Lo, here's the end of wilful youth, that after harlot's haunt, who in the spoil of other men about the streets to flaunt.